Yes, welcome into the Tuesday edition of the Auburn Daily Show. I am Harrison Tarr, not Zach Wackerby, joined today by Lance Daw, who is not Lindsey Crosby. So we've got some new faces, I guess not new faces, but familiar faces in different places today. Lance, how are you, my man?
Doing good, man. Identifying as Dylan Lark today for those watching on YouTube.
You know what? For those of you who are so inclined, you can also still follow your boy at your boy the tank and give him, show him a little bit of love and let him know that you are, you're bummed he wasn't on the show today. Lance, this is the first time we've ever been able to hop on a pod together. I'm hyped, man.
Yeah, man, it's been a long journey through almost what is now 3 months of the Auburn Daily Show, and somehow, some way, we have yet to cross paths on a show together. So today's going to be something cool.
I know, I've done so well avoiding you to this point, but here we are.
Dang it! And now here we are. We got to talk.
That's right. That's right. Let's talk some Auburn football. You were you had the privilege. I'll go with the word privilege of being at Auburn spring practice yesterday. And the hot topic, obviously, being Holden Jarner, and also a couple of other things. But let's start there. Your impressions of Holden Jarner taking snaps with the ones, and I mean, we know it's coach. There's such thing as coach speak. Hugh Freeze mentioned that he was impressed. Where are you at with the Holden, your Holden gerometer, if you will?
Well, the gerometer, I love that. Well, initially, whenever Freeze was telling us in the pre-practice press conference or whatever, speaking to the media, he was really, really, really impressed with Garner. He gave three reallys, and I was like, okay, this is kind of like you said, coach speak. I just assumed that he was impressed with what Garner was doing, because he then followed it up by saying Robbie Ashford has a sore shoulder. You know, he's not been able to go as much, so take that for what you will, essentially saying, like, well, he's not been able to play, so Garner has, and he's played well in his stead. But we walked out there, and they started doing pace drills, and first team trots out there. It's Holden Garner, and it's Jarquez Hunter. And I believe I had the rest of the first team, as did several other people. But it was Nick Mardner, Rivaldo Fairweather, Coy Moore, and Javarius Johnson as the guys around it. I'm sure we'll get into it at some point later, but for all of the criticism on Auburn's receivers, I mean, that's a pretty good group. I would say that's a pretty solid core of skill players around the offensive line. I think he did look sharp yesterday. Now, it was humid. It had just finished flooding just a few hours prior in Auburn, so balls were wet. It was just kind of a muggy day outside for practice, and some of the quarterbacks didn't hit their targets consistently. I think Garner was one of the more consistent ones. Couple different overthrows, but overall, I thought he looked sharp out there for a kid that has been kind of kept under the rug at Auburn, a former four-star for what is going on now two off seasons. I think he's somebody that deserves to get a little bit more praise as we get closer and closer to what could be him potentially playing for the Tigers, maybe not this season, but maybe next year if we see something happen with quarterbacks entering the portal and whatnot. But Garner, because of mechanically how sound he is, how polished he looks, he's going to be getting, I think, a lot more praise from guys like Freeze. And if he's able to pick up on the playbook and he's able to get more comfortable in the system that Freeze is still installing, he's been very transparent in saying that we've still got a very long way to go with what we're doing here. I think Garner is a guy that could absolutely shine. We talked about it whenever he got into Auburn that, listen, he could be a guy that fits really well in Harsin's pro-style offense, or whatever you wanted to call that system that Harsin attempted to run. But I think that when you look at Freeze's system and you look at what's worked in the past for him, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say Garner fits the prototypical mold of a Hugh Freeze quarterback, but I definitely think that you can see, you can envision him succeeding in it. So Holden Garner, so far through spring, has looked pretty solid, and apparently last week he showed out, and I saw good things from him yesterday.
I'm glad you mentioned that Holden Garner is not the typical prototype of a Hugh Freeze quarterback that you first comes to mind, because I don't necessarily put him in the same conversation as a Chad Kelly. Neither here nor there. It's interesting though, Lance, the amount of traction I guess if you want to call it traction that Jarner's generated as of late. I mean, he is a serious contender, I think, for the starting job, barring a transfer quarterback coming in, which I think a lot of us are on the same page. If there's a guy that comes in via the portal that Freeze goes out and gets, that's probably his guy. But you mentioned something interesting that I don't know that people have really considered, and believe it or not, we talked about this on the College Loop this morning. Holden Garner's future at Auburn. You mentioned something kind of interesting. You think that if it's not this year, he's still around in 2024.
I'm saying, well, he's only around if, like I said, that we see other quarterbacks bail out.
Okay.
And I'm going to be honest with you. Is that going to happen? Is that likely to happen? I would lean towards no right now. If he does not get some sort of playing time this season, I mean, if I were him, I'd be gone. I mean, well, who would want to waste their career with two different head coaches that didn't want to play him? Former four-star, he's got the tools. I don't think he lacks intelligence. I think that he's definitely improved from where he was a season ago.
Sure.
I think that he would at that point deserve a shot. He could transfer after this spring, for all we know. If Auburn goes and gets a transfer portal quarterback, he could then in turn himself enter the transfer portal, trying to find somewhere to go. So there's nothing off the table, I don't think, for any of these three quarterbacks in Auburn's roster, whether it be they stay or go after the spring or, you know, sometime during fall. I think any of these guys could just up and leave. TJ Finley is somebody that a lot of people have had their eyes on even before spring started, saying, well, he could go here, he could go here. At one point, it was like it was an all but certain that he's going to somewhere back in Louisiana, and then that never happened. So I think that you could see any of these guys just at a whim up and leave because of whatever's going on in the quarterback battle that we just don't know about. So do I think Garner could return? Yes, but there would be a lot of things that would have to happen. And partially the reason I say that he may return is out of hope, because I would like to see this quarterback room at the very least have some depth. But as we all know, in the transfer portal era, it's difficult to find kids that are content with that type of talent, content staying on the bench, at least for an extended period of time.
And just throw a little subtle jab at another school, just a hop, skip, and jump away from Auburn. It's, you can't have everyone have five stars lined up and watch a mediocre quarterback win a national championship while you sit underneath them. It's unbelievable how sometimes that shakes out. And in other situations, there's one guy, and then there's a drop-off. Yeah. And before we keep moving forward, just a little quick plug. I mean, Hank Brown's still here, by the way. I don't think he's in a serious contender right now, maybe next year. I don't know that he would have came to Auburn if Freeze didn't have a serious selling point for him. Mm-hmm. But just something else to monitor, because every time a quarterback so much as sneezes the wrong way this offseason, fans are going to want to know about it, and people are asking.
Yeah, I believe Brown was actually at practice yesterday. If I'm not mistaken, I saw him over with the quarterbacks, or at least I thought I saw him over with the quarterbacks, and I was talking with somebody. I'm like, I'm 90% sure that kid with blonde poofy hair is Hank Brown. I'm pretty sure that's him. And they're like, are you sure? And I'm like, I don't know who else it would be standing and throwing with the quarterbacks, but you know, that's just me. So
that's just how I see it, man. Like context clues, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We put two and two together, but that should be Hank Brown. So
you would think. And he'll be here this fall as a regular enrollee, I guess. It's odd that I almost want to call him late enrollees, because being an early enrollee is so commonplace now in this era of college football. Before we move forward and talk a little bit about our wide receivers, Lance, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about our friends over at NordVPN?
Yes, sir. This episode is sponsored by NordVPN. As some of you guys may know, staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty. It's really easy to get exploited by hackers and people that you don't want getting into your computer and your information nowadays. NordVPN can help you. They can help you change your IP address, making you harder to track and secure your privacy. And NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal. You can check out the link below in the episode description today. Once again, thank you so much to NordVPN for sponsoring this video. Unironically, a very, very useful tool if you want to make sure that you stay safe online. I know sometimes whenever people do ad reads, they get into it and they get really hyped up about whatever the product is, but you can tell they don't really mean it. NordVPN is actually something that I do use unironically, and it's the same thing whenever I do my show Locked On Kentucky. It's like, if I'm going to talk about how awesome this product is, most of the time I'm at least going to try it. And right. Then if I'm not enthused when I do the ad read after that, you will have your answer. So right. Absolutely check out NordVPN and the link in the episode description today.
You guys heard Lance. Go check it out and the link in this episode today. And make sure while you're down there in that area, make sure you go ahead and like and subscribe and ring the bell for the channel so you can stay up to date on everything the Auburn Daily has to offer. Got a lot of exciting stuff headed your way. I feel like every single time I turn around, something awesome gets put in my inbox that I see, and I'm just really excited for the future. and really proud of what's going on here. Let's keep moving forward, Lance. You and I talked a little bit before we hit the record button, and I wanted to cut you off then because I wanted to get your raw reaction now. There's been some speculation around that hit the timeline on the Bird app, the Twitters, if you will, about the Auburn wide receiver room. I'm literally just going to hit play on the Lance Daw recording here and just let you, the live Lance Daw reaction here, and let you just go ahead and break that down because your reaction was hilarious before we got on the show.
Yeah, so Heather Dinich of ESPN was at practice yesterday. I saw her in the corner before we went out. I'm like, is that Heather Dinich? Like, what is she doing here? Like, legitimately, like, is she doing a story? What's going on? Based on what I understand, she was just like, I guess she's still here, if I'm not mistaken, like just touring the facility. She's probably got some story coming up, but she tweeted out yesterday during practice. She tweeted out a couple of different things, but the one that kind of caught people's attention is Auburn football fans, you might need some, patience with your wide receivers, .. And I want to say a couple of different things here. And this is not a knock on Heather, who I think does a great job over at ESPN. She's not going to see this. No one that cares is going to see this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I was standing right in front of her a little bit to her left. I don't know what she saw, but the receiver room is in a bad spot first and foremost because of injury. Just full stop. If you go and look at auburndaily.com right now, go and look at the second, third team offense. It's going to make you want to puke when you get to that third team. I mean, there are just a lot of injuries.
Hey, whoa, shout out my boy Jake Cruzy. He came on the College Loop the other day. No hitting Jake.
Unironically, okay, Jake Cruz last year, when I was watching him in practice, I actually made this note a couple different times after practice. I'm like, that kid can run routes, dude. That kid's sharp.
Yeah, he only played 1 year of high school football.
Really?
Just his senior year. Check out the College Loop, man. I'm telling you, he's got a listen every now and again.
Everybody go subscribe to the College Loop. You will find more things about Auburn football, Auburn softball as well. That's the place you get your Auburn softball fix, absolutely. But the third team offense, not as sharp. And watching the receivers, admittedly, I even said this in my practice notes. There were some drops. There were some inconsistencies. Auburn is trying to coach these guys up with a new receivers coach, by the way. And whenever I say new, I don't just mean new for Auburn. I mean kind of new to the game, period. Because Marcus Davis graduated in, 2016, 2017? And since then, he's been working his way up the ranks. He was at Hawaii for a little bit. Now he's here. He is going to have a little bit of time with some of these, even these new guys, to kind of get them comfortable in Hugh Freeze's system, because Freeze even said yesterday something to the effect of, I tweeted about it, I can pull it up here in a second for you, but just that it's the receivers are way, way, way off where he thought they would be at this point because of what the system was for them last year. Let me see if I can find this for you real quick.
Certainly a staunch differential. I'll do a little buffer here while you're sifting through your Twitter feed. It doesn't surprise me. Like we've talked to a lot of guys that went through the Malzahn to Harsin exchange, or at least I've spoken to a bunch of those guys and a handful that have gone through this change as well. When you're installing a whole new offense, you have your base plays and your base sets, and then you're expanding. And then when you got a group of guys that was already kind of racky and wasn't used correctly the year before, it's a tough transition period. So there's got to be some leeway there, Lance.
Yes, I absolutely agree. You got to have some patience, especially whenever you're, at this point? I mean, you're 3/4 of the way through spring practice, and you're going to end it with A-Day here in just, 12 days. So wow, Hugh Freeze said about the wide receivers, he said they have so far to go in our learning system compared to what they were in. Just, you could pause it right there. You could pause it right there. He said we were very thin there on Friday. There were some assignment errors, and we've got to get that fixed. It wasn't as far as a step forward as I would have liked to have seen, but I'm confident that we can make improvement there. Yeah, because it takes time whenever you switch from the archaic, I don't even know what to call it, that Kiesau and Harsin were running last year to the VAT. Yes, that featuring no touchdowns. But this season, I think it's going to be a stark difference on offense in terms of what Auburn is doing schematically, trying to get some of these receivers open. There are some bright spots on this offense and this receiver room. I think Coy Moore has looked good. I think Javaris Johnson and the limited action that I've seen him, he's looked good. Nick Mardner is somebody that day one we walked out there and I'm like, oh, if they can coach him up, that guy's going to be a dude.
Yeah.
Like at 6'6", him and there was at one point they ran some type of bunch set and it was Rivaldo Fairweather, Nick Mardner, and Camden Brown. And I just was like, I don't think we're going to see this on the field at any point.
But it's awesome.
But dang, that's awesome that Auburn's got some height and physicality in their receiver room after having post Seth Williams a couple of years in a row where you couldn't have that 50-50 jump ball guy. I think you're going to see Camden Brown develop a little bit more into that. And then you've got like guys like Mardner and Fairweather who can just be big bodied pass catchers. It's going to be really fun to see in a Hugh Freeze system. It's crazy how you get a coach in that loves utilizing those guys and they actually show up. Now, will they perform? That's what we're going to have to see this fall. But anyway, to bring it all back to what I was saying about the receivers, there were not as many inconsistencies as maybe even Heather described. Like, you're going to have to have a lot of patience with your wide receiver. Yeah, no kidding. Like, I thought it was dramatic. I think Auburn's receivers are going to be fine. That was my kind of takeaway from it. So far this spring, I've thought they've looked fine. Their quarterbacks, I'm going to be honest with you, they've not been accurate throughout spring. Freeze has said as much. That's to put it lightly. They've got a lot of work to do. One of them is hurt right now. So there's a lot of progress to be made in a passing game. And if you have a quarterback that can make you look better, you're going to look better. And Auburn doesn't have that. And on a day where it was humid and muggy and just wet, there was an outsider that came in and observed something. And I think it was a little bit of a rush to judgment.
You know, it's a bit of a common theme, I guess, catchphrase for the month of March in the state of Alabama this year. Just wrong place, wrong time. That's all. And sorry.
That was good.
The way that I was able to weave that in, I'm actually going to go ahead and count that as a W for today.
Yeah, I'm just going to mark that off.
One last little football question for you, Lance, and then we'll get out of here and let these folks enjoy their Tuesdays. Thank you guys for listening along. The most controversial tweet on the timeline yesterday was Justin Hokanson telling everybody that Hugh Freeze thought that Little Italy's was extremely good. What was the word?
Well, Freeze said that it was very, yeah, it was phenomenal. Freeze said it was phenomenal. And the moment he said that, there was a physical reaction from more than five beat writers in that room. Like I looked over and people like were like that, like leaning back in their chair, like, you've got to be kidding me. You like Little Italy? What is wrong with you?
Okay. Let me hold up. Let my man cook. All right. But I just wanted this out here in the Auburn sphere. All right. In the barn world. Don't let people gaslight you into thinking it's not okay to like Little Italy's because I'm on your side. That's the reason I'm here.
Yes. So I tweeted this out as well. Literally Saturday night, I had somebody ask me, hey, do you want to go get Little Italy? And we talked about it there. We talked about whether or not it was good there. We were eating it. We were like, we enjoy it. We talked about it whenever we got back to his place with somebody else. They had never had it, but they had heard so many negative things about it that they didn't feel the need to go and get it. I'm like, you said, you've been gaslit into thinking that it's bad pizza. And there are some beat writers in there. Like, listen, if that's not your thing, if you just hate Little Italy's period or Little Italy period, you know what? That's fine. But some of us need to stop acting. I think even somebody said this to Hokanson, stop acting like you're above Little Italy. And Hokanson said, oh brother, I'm not. And there were so many people also on the timeline yesterday that were saying, I only have it when I'm intoxicated. Not once have I had Little Italy under any sort of influence. I will just tell you, it's not been bad. It's also not been a bad place to go have a first date, at least in my experience. So
you were spitting facts right now, and I'll go ahead and disclose this information. I've had it both inebriated and not inebriated, and it's good under every circumstance. Exactly. I just don't. I needed my voice to be heard. Lance, let everybody know where they can find you, love you, listen to you, support you.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at @LanceDahl_. You can also check out the Locked On Kentucky podcast if you want to go listen to another SEC school and me whine for half an hour. And you can also check out auburndaily.com, all of our written work over there. And check out the College Loop, by the way. I just want to say it before you say it. Check it out, everybody. You need to follow them on Twitter as well.
Big shout out to Lance. Maybe one day we'll actually get him on the show. Man, we'll see. We'll see about that. We'd love that. Love to have that. I'm Harrison Tarr at @ByHarrisonTarr on Twitter. Like to read my bio line. If you want to read any of my written work, that's at theauburndaily.com. If you don't know where it's at, I don't know how you found this video. If you want to check out more of my podcasting work, that's every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday on, like Lance said, The College Loop. You can check that out on all social platforms at The College Loop. No gimmicks. That's all we've got for today's episode. We'll see you guys same place, same time tomorrow. I'll be back on with Dylan Lark. Sorry you guys will miss Lance. It'll actually be Dylan next week, tomorrow. So that's a bummer for all of us, including myself. So we will see you guys same place, same time tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.